Hello and welcome back to JLXP for 2024. It's good to see you. Thank you for clicking on the video. And if you did just click on the video to see the power rankings, I still appreciate it. They're right there. You can see them 1 through 8, C9, Energy, TL, FlyQuest, Shopify, Rebellion, Dig, 100 Thieves, and IMT. I will be talking a little bit more about each of those teams later in the video. Rather than doing a super justified breakdown of why everyone should be exactly where they are, I'll talk a little bit about that, but more so I'm just going to be talking about what I find to be most interesting about each of these 8 teams going into the 2024 split. But first, I wanted to catch up a little bit with the viewers on what I've been up to and what I'm going to be up to this coming 2024. So I will be back on the LCS. I will be on the Analyst Lounge. I'll also hopefully be casting a little bit more with the changes that are happening with smaller downtime in between games, only having 4 games a day because of 8 teams, having faster transition times, LCS being played on live patch. So I'm looking forward to that. But more specifically, I wanted to talk a bit about what's been happening with this channel and what happened with this channel throughout the World Championship, which I thought was really cool, and I just kind of want to explain what's going on. So, during Worlds, Riot was really awesome, specifically the LCS team, wanting to make the Let's Go series, which many of you saw over on the LCS channel. We did 5 episodes, kind of docu-style, following me around the World Championship, but also covering some of the biggest storylines. I think that specific series of content is some of my favorite content that I've ever worked on at the LCS. So I was really happy with what the team did with it, their vision for the project, and how I was able to work into it. With that, though, the podcast was also a pretty big part of Let's Go, and it also had really elevated production quality during the run of Let's Go, which is why you saw 3 camera shoots, you saw higher quality audio, you saw a podcast where I was on a train to Busan with DeMonte, and we literally filmed the podcast on the train going in and out of tunnels, and an audio engineer managed to mix everything up so you could actually hear it perfectly. That was really cool, and I'm really grateful that I got to have that experience. In 2024, there's going to be a mix of podcasts on this channel. There is going to be podcasts like this, where I'm in my office, where it's very bare bones production quality, so I can record and get it up quick. But also, I can announce that Let's Go is coming back. We're actually going to be doing episodes early on in the spring split. I'm not going to give exact dates, but the release cadence for those is going to be exactly like it was at Worlds, where you'll see the Let's Go episode on the LCS channel, and there will be little bits of the podcast that I have within that episode. And then the full podcast that we record with that elevated production quality will also be still on this JLXP channel. So it was kind of like a test run for it last year at Worlds, and it's coming to the LCS in 2024, which I am really excited about. And I wanted to explain a little bit for the viewers here so nobody is thrown off by the content that they see on this channel, because it's still going to be 100% podcasts, but the locations and the guests and the number of cameras is going to vary. So Let's Go on the LCS YouTube channel, JLXP still here, a mix of podcasts like this one and a mix like the podcast you saw during the World Championship. So that's cool. Also, Mark Zimmerman is the LCS commissioner. If you haven't been paying attention to the news being blasted about the LCS, there are a lot of changes. I'll go over them really quickly because most of you listening already know the majority of them. But this split, it is an 8-team LCS league. There is still a double round robin best of one, which means the total number of games that each team is going to be playing during the spring split is 14 instead of 18. So actually very high stakes very quickly in terms of how much a loss will mean. It's going to be played across 6 weeks. The first 3 weeks, a 2-week break, another 3 weeks, and then playoffs. There will be 2 super weeks towards the tail end of both of those 3-week splits. So it'll be 2 games, 2 games, 3 games, 2-week break, 2 games, 2 games, 3 games. It will be played on the live patch, which I think is exciting. It's the only league, professional league, tier one league in the world that's going to be played on the live patch. So I am a big fan of that change because there is a new reason to tune into the LCS, aside from just being a fan of North America and having time on the weekends, which we are now back to, which everyone's very excited about, noon PST. Four games, very quick. It'll be on the live patch, so you're going to get to see the earliest adaptations to gameplay. And honestly, I don't actually think it's going to drastically show new strengths or new weaknesses for the teams in particular, because not a huge amount change from patch to patch anyway. It might actually make things a little bit easier to immediately be able to practice and solo queue the stuff you're going to be playing on stage, and you won't have this difference of practice environments when there's new patches that you have so often in scrim metas versus solo queue time. So I think even from the team side, while for years and years there was a big fear of going over to it, I don't think it's going to be that bad for the teams, which I think will be pretty cool. But obviously I'm going to talk to players and coaches throughout the split and see if that moves the needle for how well they practice. So one final thing as well, which I don't think that many people realize is happening, but the duration from Nexus Fall to loading back onto Summoner's Rift for the next game should be greatly reduced. And that's because they will be pre-recording Champion Select during the previous game, and then when players go on stage to do tech checks, bring up their mouse and keyboard, and set everything up, they will be then playing back the recorded Champion Select. And Champion Select is actually pretty damn long for those of you who get lost in it. It's like sometimes 8 or 9 minutes. So even if you had like a 15-minute transition time, which is what LCS had last year, which was one of the fastest of all major regions because the tech team was amazing and they didn't have that many pauses, you would have Nexus Fall, and like 15 minutes later, you'd start Champion Select, which meant like 24 minutes later, you'd actually start the next game, like officially the next game. Now, the intended flow is going to be Nexus Falls. You got about 3 minutes that's either going to be a segment or an interview or a wrap. You're going to have your commercial break. And then when you come back, you're like in Champion Select. So that 15 minutes is going to like six, if all goes well. And instead of, you know, 26 minutes from Nexus Fall to spawning on Summoner's Rift, it's going to be, I think, 15. So it could actually be really, really fast. And the one small fear I have about this is actually LEC is going to have a little bit of overlap with the LCS towards the end of their day and the start of our day. And if LCS is going really fast, you could be like middle of game two by the time some of the LEC viewers pop over to the LCS stream. So for the true fans of the LCS, please tune in for Waiting Room at 11:30 PST on the 20th, so we can start strong and get the viewers pouring in. Anyway, that's enough preamble about podcast stuff and format stuff. Let's get to the reason you clicked on the video and the 2024 LCS Power Rankings. And in one of the most disrespectful moves that I feel like almost everyone's going to be doing, the defending champions energy, the team that 2OG2, the best Western team in the world, is not number one in the power rankings. But that's just what everyone's going to do. I'm sorry. That's just what happens. Because C9, in the offseason, signed JoJo. They signed the league MVP and the best mid laner in the league and one of the best talents that the LCS has seen in a very long time. And now they have three former MVPs on their roster. They have Fudge top lane, Blabber jungle, JoJo mid, Berserker AD carry, and Vulcan as their support. So Cloud9 last year was a really interesting team because I feel like for the majority of the split, they felt like they were destined to win. And then it wasn't until they lost to Energy in the finals that we realized that wasn't the case. And then they had a pretty disappointing Worlds. As some of you saw as well, MNS did like a Dunzo manifesto after the year and kind of mentally imploded and flamed everyone. So the vibes weren't good with that team at Worlds or towards the end of the summer split. Part of that could have been because they had so much internal confidence that they were going to be good. So when things didn't go perfectly, it was kind of hard to manage. The expectations are really, really high. And I think almost everyone's going to be putting C9 number one in their power rankings. But I think we've also done enough of these of so-called super teams where the super team ends up not being so super. Like, you literally just can't have three MVPs playing at an MVP level all the time. That's just not how League works. There's a finite amount of gold that can go around the team. So I'm just really curious to see how this team plays. And the most interesting storyline for C9 for me is going to be what the in-game relationship is like between JoJo and Blaber. Because if you think about the mid laners that Blaber has played with in the past, he has won with a lot of different mid laners and a lot of different mid lane styles, if that makes sense. He's literally won LCS with four different mids. He's won with Jensen multiple times. He's won with Niski in what was the most dominant iteration of C9 ever, 2020 spring, when they didn't get to go to MSI because of COVID. He's won with Perks, and he's also won with MNS. I'd say Jensen and MNS were two mid laners that didn't really need to be played through, that Blaber could just play around because they were really, really good at just winning their matchup and becoming powerful. So Blaber did all his farming efficiency stuff and took care of the other lanes, and his mid laner would be reliable. Niski was a mid laner who elevates his junglers everywhere he's been. He's had three MVP junglers be on his team while he is the mid laner, and that's not a coincidence. I think it's because Niski was an incredible enabler of junglers. Who doesn't play for himself, plays for his jungle, which was great for Blaber. And then we had Perks, who was like a clutch player. I never really felt like Cloud9 was great with Perks and Blaber, but they still managed to make it out of group stage at Worlds and beat us when I was with TL in spring finals of 2021 in five games. But that was just like, I don't know, just kind of like Perks stuff. It was hard to really pinpoint his play style. He was very inconsistent while he was on Cloud9. So how, like, what is JoJo going to be closer to? Is he going to play more like Niski? Is he going to play more like Jensen? Or is it going to be some mix? I will say, of all four of those mid laners, Blaber doesn't really elevate his mid laner. He doesn't have to, because he's, in my opinion, the best jungler in LCS history. And he's never going to play like River, where he's ganking all the time and sacrificing his own efficiency just so his mid laner can have a good game. And I'm 80% sure that's going to work with JoJo, because JoJo played so much for everyone else when he won MVP on EG. But one other thing that happened on EG when they were cooking is Armeo was going mid more than any other jungler. And then JoJo was paying it out to the rest of the map. I don't think Blaber is going to be going mid more than every other jungler. So they might just blow people out because they have Berserker and JoJo and Fudge in lanes. But I'm really curious. I'm really curious, especially with free agency and all the hype about JoJo, how those egos are going to mesh. So if something breaks, it's going to be because the mid jungle synergy isn't quite there, even though they're, you know, should be amazing together. We'll see. Okay, I took longer on C9 than I'm going to take on the other teams, I promise. Energy. Biggest storyline is their expectations are so much higher. These guys had no expectations for almost all of last year, and that is great. It is so great to be the underdog. They were only 9-9 in the summer split before they turned it on, had that amazing playoff run, and then kind of carried that magic through the Worlds. So I don't know. I kind of hope I piss them off by saying this. Two might actually be too high for the power ranking. And that feels so bad to say because of what they accomplished for North America and what they accomplished for themselves. But I just feel like when they are expected to be the favorites, teams are going to be looking at them differently. They're going to get more amped for their games. energy themselves when they make mistakes and get into their pretty passionate team discussions, there's going to be way more ego there, like way more ego, because they all got their roses during the World Championship. And I need to see how that plays out. Also, they're adding Huhi instead of Ignar, and Huhi's a pretty big voice. Huhi is a leader. He was amazing on Golden Guardians, but that's a big voice, and Palafox is a big voice, and Contrax wants to play the game the way he wants to play the game, and it's going to be flippy, and it's going to be inconsistent, and his highs are going to be the best, and his lows are going to be real bad. So I think this team, it's a 14-game season. I probably put them at like 9 wins, 10 wins. I put Cloud9 around like 12 for expected. So really curious. All right, number three, Team Liquid. This is going to be high, higher than most. I think most people would have FlyQuest here. And my reasoning for this is they were third place last split, and I think they got better. I think the team as it was constructed last year was fundamentally kind of broken. I just thought Summit Piosik were way too flippy. Way too flippy. I thought they were quite poor team fighters, and that just didn't complement their rookies at all in Harry and Jan. And the biggest storyline for me on Team Liquid beyond that is, will APA continue to improve? Because he made it look like a decent situation last split. I do not think that was a good situation for APA to go into whatsoever. He, throughout his career, has been slept on, but he's always found ways to win. Specifically, even in solo queue, was able to get rank one all the time, was rank one in World's Champion queue, was incredibly high elo in his Korean boot camp. He is a player who has a huge improvement mindset, but his laning has just never been dominant. It just never has. And I want to see how he's going to be stacking up again, you know, with the world's experience. Like, has he actually improved? Because hot take, like, a lot of players don't really improve that much. They have these years and years and years and years where they're training in solo queue. And then, like, within the first year of learning the competitive rules and, like, whatever environment they are in for their competitive ecosystem, that's often, like, their level. And it's very hard to improve from that level. There's not infinite improvement for everyone. So APA might be the type of player who's able to make that jump, and I think Team Liquid is kind of banking on it. I should also mention the rosters for those of you who are, you know, preparing for the split. C9 roster, two changes, MNS out, JoJo Pyeon in the mid lane, Zven out of support, Vulcan in, Berserker, Blabber, and Fudge are holdovers. For energy, 4/5 of the same roster, Dokla, Contrax, Palafox, FBI, and Huhi. Ignar is back in Europe. Huhi reunites with FBI. It's the third unique team they have played on together. There should be a lot of synergy there. We'll see. Team Liquid brought in Impact. He's reunited with CoreJJ and Team Liquid, the championship team from 2019, top and support, are back together. They brought in Umpty over from Korea. I think he's going to be a better fit than Piosik. APA Yon, still there. CoreJJ and head coach Spawn, who I'm really happy is in the LCS. He is such a competent human. That definitely filters over towards his coaching. He was a huge help to me when he was running the academy program, when I was over at Team Liquid. He was a great caster colleague. He works harder than pretty much anyone else I know. He has shown consistent success coaching the Team Liquid Academy team for many years, and now being the head coach of this Team Liquid team, I think he's going to do a very good job. Okay, next team, FlyQuest. Whippo top lane, Inspired jungle, Jensen mid, Masu AD carry, Busio support. What a wild team. Inspired and Whippo, both incredibly accomplished players. Neither of them played on a team in summer split. Jensen, aside from Bjergsen, the most accomplished mid laner in LCS history, had a really down split. And if he doesn't make this work, maybe we'll be out of competitive. which is crazy to think. And then they have an 80 carry who was born in 2004, Masu, and a support who was born in 2003, Busio. So they have huge veteran presence, top jungle mid. Big rookie presence bot lane. It's going to be strange. It could be really, really good. The variance for this team, I feel like, is higher than the variance for other teams, which I guess is true of FlyQuest, even though they have a completely different team than the one that completely boomed in Summer Split. But, like, they can beat anybody. And I also just think there's a chance that nothing works for this team because they have such a crazy mix of personalities. Bwipo so wants to play the game his way. Or I shouldn't say that. He doesn't need to play the game his way, but he's so many opinions and is so vocal about the game. And then Inspired really wants to play the game his way, is also incredibly vocal. Jensen, I think, is just going to be a passenger on this team. It could be a really good fit. He might just be able to sit back, you know, beat up on a lot of the other mid laners in the league if he's still got what he had 5 years ago and be set. And then Masu could be in an amazing situation to succeed. For those of you who don't know, this guy was the most valuable prospect in Challengers, the academy system. And if you want to be a good AD carry, it's good to have winning lanes and a good jungler and a good support. And he's got all that. So if this team's good, Masu's going to be rookie of the split, pretty much guaranteed. So keep your eyes on him. It's an exciting story. Next team I got, Shopify Rebellion. Gonna go a little faster for the last four teams, but I do think there's the top four, then there's Shopify, then there's the bottom three. And I feel pretty strongly about that. Fake God, Boogie, Insanity, B-Boy, and Zazel, but Wild Turtle, I believe, is going to be starting week one. So, I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure. And I think this team's going to surprise some people. I think Boogie and Sanity were really good last split, carried them to a lot of wins. And I think they upgraded kind of around the map. I think Zazel's a guy who's actually been really good, hasn't been given a fair number of opportunities, mainly because his laning hasn't been impressive. But he's really smart about the game. He's grinded for years. I mean, this guy went to World Semifinals back in 2018 with Cloud9. And then Fake God is someone who had a really bad showing the last time he was in LCS, but I think made a lot of improvements and kept grinding at the game. And then Revan, their coach, I think is a really good coach. I think he got dunked on by the community a bit with the Ruby Insanity swapping he did last split. And I think he's going to continue to get dunked on if the same thing happens with Wild Turtle and B-Boy and there's any hiccups, but at least he's consistent and principled about what he's doing. Like, he has the intended starting roster, which is going to be B-Boy as the AD carry. And even if they start with Turtle, and even if they start 3-0, if B-Boy comes in, B-Boy is going to get his opportunity. All right? Nobody freak out about that when it does inevitably happen. But I think Revan is good with his knowledge of the game, with his drafts, and I think Insanity is a really good mid laner to pair with him because Insanity plays a lot of different stuff. And it's going to give them a lot of flexibility to be a good team. So really curious to see if they can be quite good. Next three, Dig, 100 Thieves, Immortals. I think you could mix these up in any, you know, variation. It could be Dig 8th. It could be 100 8th. I don't feel super strongly between 6, 7, and 8. Dignitas, I'll run through their roster. They have Rich returning. They've promoted XU from Challengers. They have Dove as their mid laner from Korea. They have Tomo, and they have Isles. 100 Thieves has Sniper. Finally Sniper. He's been playing competitive since he was like 14, and he's finally old enough to join LCS. River Jungle, Quid Mid, Meech Bot, Ayla Support, and Immortals has Castle Top, Armeo Jungle, Mask Mid Lane, Tactical Bot, and Ole as their support. Okay, a couple of names jumped out to me like crazy across those three teams, and those are going to be the biggest storylines for me for all three of them. So Dignitas, Rich is the one who jumped out. He was the standout player for them last split. He's really going to have to do a lot of good with this team. They are very young, and I think Rich needs to take advantage of the new season changes of top lane being more isolated to really try and counterpick, really try and dominate lanes, and then take over the game from there. For 100 Thieves, two things. If you were to look at the roster in summer from 2023 of Someday, Closer, Doublelift, Busio, and Quid, and say, pick one. One of them gets to come back. Not many people would say Quid. That's a turn of events. He had a really bad entry into the LCS. I think he came into a bad situation. That team wasn't doing well. He wasn't prepared. He was super young. River is a jungler for Quid that might be able to enable him in mid lane. But really, by far, the most exciting thing for this team is Sniper. He is one of the youngest, most exciting players that has entered LCS since JoJo. I don't know. I don't necessarily think this team is that good, so it's going to be hard for him to look good, but I'm very interested to see him finally on the big stage. Immortals, I just want to see Armeo and Tactical Cook. They've been teammates off and on since TSM Academy back in 2019. I'm glad they're both still in the LCS, but the most interesting thing is Ole. It is so incredibly rare for a Korean pro player to go through military service and then return to pro. And that is what Ole has done. For those of you that are not familiar with his game, watch their lane at level 1 and 2. He's going to flash in. He's going to try and make kills. If this team gives Ole a long leash, he's going to be doing some crazy stuff. Looking forward to that. But overall, those are my power rankings. Those are some quick threads on each team. Very excited for this upcoming LCS split. The 20th, noon PST is the first game. 30 minutes before that is the LCS waiting room. This podcast is back for 2024. I'm going to be attempting weekly episodes. There will be episodes like this. There will also be Let's Go episodes over on the LCS channel throughout the year, and occasionally some very special podcasts with some cool guests. So looking forward to 2024. Thank you for watching to this point, and I will see you next time.